Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, June 27th, 2017. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm very good. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. And Jeff Butts, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for being here, too.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I'm glad all the listeners are here yet again today, because I think we have some fun stuff to talk about. And the first thing that I want to hit, I say first thing because it's a topic where we may not have time to do a second. We'll see. Augmented reality and wearables and glasses in specific, and how all of this relates to Apple. And what is spurring this conversation, the catalyst for this conversation today, is the news that Apple purchased a company called Sensomotoric. And that's a company out of Germany that has been working on augmented reality technology since the 90s, I believe. And they have this amazing eye tracking technology that can track motion at 120 times per second. So you can get highly accurate eye tracking from this, which is a fancy way of saying, if you're doing an augmented reality wearable glasses thing, you want to have as high accuracy as possible for the eye tracking. And it applies for virtual reality as well, but in Apple's case, augmented reality. And this is the company that's doing it. So now Apple owns them. And then couple that with the news or the report from Gene Munster, who used to be an analyst for Piper Jaffray, and now he's part of the investment firm Loop Ventures. And he is saying, based on the sources that he has, this would be like supply channel sources and other sources he's been able to continue to have after leaving Piper Jaffray. He says Apple's glasses are going to ship in the second fiscal half of 2020. So we've got all of that. We have these other reports that we've had for quite a while that Apple is working on augmented reality. And of course, we have iOS 11, which does have augmented reality through ARKit in a very big way. And I mash all that together. That's quite a setup for me to then just turn around and say, holy crap, what do you guys think about this?
I think I'm very excited.
Based on the tone of your voice, I can tell you're ecstatic.
Well, this is Mr. Spock speaking, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So I think, I don't want to speak for everyone, but in my view, I think we have a kind of still a hazy picture about what augmented reality can do. And there may be a perception that it's either a gadget or it's limited to games. But I don't feel that anymore, if I ever did. There's so much information available on the internet and in databases and about us and our surroundings that isn't integrated into our visual field. And the opportunity there for doing all sorts of things, for measurements and navigation and street navigation and games and visualization, I think is just huge. And the more I think about it and the more I read about it, the more excited I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. So, John, the thing about people thinking that augmented reality is sort of like a gimmick for games, I totally get why people would think that. And if you look at features from the gaming market historically, what you see are the features that are going to show up in other applications later on.
Right. Gaming drives the technology and then we all benefit.
Right. And my guess is that we'll see a lot of that as Apple pushes forward with its augmented reality options and ARKit in specific. So yeah, we're going to see a lot of gaming related things initially, because that's what drives the technology. And then we'll see that that spreading out into other places fairly quickly. What I used to tell people years and years ago, so this will kind of date me. If you want to see what features you're going to have in Excel in 5 years, look at what's happening in Doom and Marathon today.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And what I meant was the things that they're doing with the coding, with the computer technology, with the graphics, that's always ahead in the gaming space compared to the business space. So, Jeff, you've been a little quiet, but probably because I haven't even given you a chance to talk yet.
Yeah, I'm sitting here thinking about, honestly, I'm sitting here thinking about Shadowrun, a cyberpunk role-playing game that I used to play back in the day.
Uh-huh.
And it was all about implants and gadgets that would use what we're now calling augmented reality, and it's coming to life. And I dig it.
You know, when I first started seeing augmented reality demonstrations a few years ago, I was not that impressed just overall. But then the demonstrations I was being given were being presented by people, the engineers that were creating the technology. And, of course, they had the vision of how powerful this technology could be and how life-changing it could be. But they were expressing it through, essentially, numbers.
Right.
And it wasn't that compelling. And I just kept thinking, okay, at some point, someone's going to do something with this where now it becomes very compelling. And for me, the first place that happened was with an iPhone app, Skywatch, the astronomy app,
mm-hmm.
where I could just point my iPhone at the sky or at the ground. And what I'm seeing is the sky as if Earth wasn't in the way, as if the sun wasn't blocking out the stars. And that's when augmented reality became a very powerful idea for me.
My first exposure to it was an app called Sunseeker from Graham Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
That allows movie studios and architects and city planners to visualize where the sun's going to be at different times during the day. And if you needed to see where the sun was, it could look through a building and show you where the sun would be, even if, you know, there was a building in the way, to help you visualize what the daytime path of the sun was going to be like. And that was so cool because I pointed my iPad at the roof of my house, and the sun was blocked, but then there was the ecliptic with the sun right in the middle and showing me where it was. And that doesn't sound too helpful on a clear day because you can just peek around. But what if it's an overcast day and you still need to know where the sun is?
Yeah, so that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What really struck me, because, you know, I'd been seeing AR as, you know, a game experience, a shopping experience. But Jim Tanous posted something, and I actually saw this demo yesterday, an AR tape measure.
Yeah.
And that may not sound as cool as it is, but, you know, depending on the capabilities, I'm big into archery, and being able to use my iPhone as a substitute for a rangefinder when I'm out on the archery range would be amazing.
Oh, sure.
Oh, so you can like point it at the target and figure out
what the target and figure out what the range is.
Separation. Oh, well, I was thinking about figuring out the separation of the arrows on the target itself.
You could do that, but I mean, typically, I mean, we have to go retrieve our arrows anyways, but yeah, we could totally use our phones to,
I think it was
to
scoring,
see what our pattern was, how tight our pattern was.
Right.
Yeah. But scoring, I mean, scoring, you can already do that on your phone.
Uh-huh. Okay. But we're nibbling at the edges of some ideas that are just the beginning of potential.
Okay, so now I have a question for you guys. And the setup for the question, well, the question is, would you be willing to wear AR glasses? Now, here's the setup that goes along with it. And I have long been in the camp of Google Glass was a failure in part because it looked ridiculous, I thought. It was what I refer to as birth control glasses. And if you don't get what that means, send me a message.
Model.
yeah. If you don't know what that means, send me a message, and I'll let you know. then the whole implementation of Google Glass, I thought was flawed on many levels. In part because Google was not respecting privacy in a way that people were comfortable with. And then the other part of this is I've been wearing glasses the majority of my life. And glasses, while they're a part of my face and I typically don't think about them being there, they are still a pain in the ass. They get in the way. I'll be doing shows and forget that everything is as close to me as it is. And I bump my glasses into microphones and you have to keep them clean. You have to make sure you don't break them. I need to have sunglasses to go along with my regular glasses because the photo graying lenses turn out to be a really bad idea for me. But anyhow, there's all these reasons why, in my mind, you don't want to wear glasses. And if you don't have to, I can't imagine wanting to. So with all of that in mind, now that I've just dumped all that on you, would you guys be interested in wearing Apple's?
I've been thinking about that too. Glasses. Before the show started, I started thinking about what the showstoppers might be, and just as you described it, the wearing glasses is a problem for a lot of people. I mean, I wear Polaroid prescription progressives and outdoors, and you know, I'm not going to go without those. It's hard to switch to something else that meets the technical specs of those.
And that's going to be the problem.
Yeah. And maybe there's a way to take the glasses that you already have and use this glass technology that they bought and keep developing the technology to the point where you can take a little sticker and just kind of stick it onto the inside rim of the glasses. And it has everything built in. Mm-hmm. Solar powered electronics, you know, thin film electronics, something along those lines. Where you know, we have these passes, these RFID passes that we use for the toll road. Mm-hmm. It used to be a big, clunky plastic box that you clipped onto your sun visor. And now it's just this little plastic strip that they mail you in an envelope, and you just peel it off and stick it on your windshield. So maybe we can get to that point with the AR glasses, and you can use your own glasses. That would be the holy grail, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Having a way to have prescription glasses that do not feel bulkier or heavier than what we wear today, give us all of the things that we need out of our prescription glasses, whether that's progressive lenses, photo graying lenses, accounting for astigmatism, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And still give us all of the augmented reality features without adding weight and bulk. Okay.
Just a little piece of plastic that you peel off and apply to the inside of the top of the lens.
Or maybe it's just built into the lens itself in some way. It is.
Because the way it's been presented right now is there'll be a standalone pair of glasses.
Right.
And, you know, possibly you could wear them over your existing glasses, but I'm going to tell you right now, as an archer and as a shooter, I don't wear shooting glasses. Even though I've had shell casings go down between my glasses and my face and burned my eyelid, I still don't wear shooting glasses because they're not comfortable. They hurt. I'd rather take the risk of the shell casing hitting my cheek than worry about my comfort being so degraded that my performance is off.
I have a pro tip for you. Mm-hmm. Wide brim hat.
Yeah, you can't really do that too easily most of the time with a rifle when you're trying to get into a scope. It puts too much shade over the scope.
I didn't think about the shade part. All right. Yeah. A brimmed hat, just not wide brim.
Yeah.
You know, considering all the troubles that Google had and considering all of the practical aspects of wearing somebody else's glasses, I really doubt Apple's going to go down that path. That would be just a big mistake. I'm sure they're thinking about a better way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And, you know, but here's the thing. What is the better way to present augmented reality to us when you move beyond our phones? And right now, the only answer I have is glasses.
Mm-hmm.
But augmented reality comes into the forefront when you're out and about, as opposed to being indoors, say in your office or living room. It's when you're on the firing range, or it's when you're navigating. Right. You're walking downtown. You're trying to find an office building in a city you haven't been in a while, or you're trying to do range finding when you're playing golf. Or all these activities that bring the world of information to you are really an outdoor thing.
For a recipe, where you're cooking.
How would augmented reality work with a recipe?
Okay, so first, you can have the recipe appear as if it's part of a heads-up display. So it's always right in front of you. You never have to turn pages in a book or move a sheet of paper out of the way. This may sound kind of crazy, but not everyone can readily identify the different food ingredients that they're putting together for a recipe, like if it's something new they've tried. So now your glasses, when it's time to grab the scallions, okay, you're looking at the counter and the scallions get highlighted on the counter. Oh, yep. There we go. And I know for some people they're going to be like, seriously, if you can't tell what that is, you're just stupid. No, there's a lot of people that aren't familiar with a lot of the different vegetables that are out there. So this would be a really handy thing in the kitchen, I think.
I wonder if it has any applications in grocery shopping. And I was reading the other day about Amazon's purchase of Whole Foods and how they wanted to convert possibly to a checkout lanes without checkers. And I wonder if it has any application for grocery shopping. Like, you look at an orange on the shelf, and it tells you where the orange came from.
Yes,
like whether it was imported or whether it was from Florida, yep.
Mm-hmm. or tell you what items are on sale just by looking at them.
Yeah,
or maybe you tell your iPhone, I'm going shopping. This is the type of meal that I want. But I don't know exactly what it is. And now you're getting ingredient suggestions as you walk mm-hmm. around the store. Maybe you should try this. Here, get this and this, and you can make this.
Yeah.
And I know some of the stuff that we're talking about it is kind of out there right now. But if we're not thinking out there, we're not going to get to the point where we're having really useful, meaningful interactions with this technology.
Well, this is what we talked about at the beginning of the show. I mean, if we can think of this stuff in a 20-minute show off the, just off the cuff, what could really happen in the future? We're just getting started. It's going to be amazing.
Yes. So, yeah. Okay. Now, I never answered the question that I set up for you guys. Would I wear Apple's augmented reality glasses? And the answer is I would definitely want to try them, but unless I could incorporate them into my life in the exact same way that I currently incorporate the glasses I have to wear every single day, then no. The value is not worth the trade-off for me.
I can echo that. I would say ditto, ditto, what Jeff said.
Yep. And for someone like me, whatever the cost, it's probably double. Because my assumption is they will have a way that you can build this into prescription glasses. And that means I have to get prescription glasses and prescription sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And that's a really expensive prospect. So while I would love to wear Apple's glasses, assuming that they check off all the criteria that I've outlined. Man, that's a lot of money to invest in glasses. So I don't know.
You might not need the sunglasses.
Well, I live in Colorado. When I go outside, if the sun's not out, I probably need sunglasses.
I understand.
Absolutely.
But these could be auto-dimming.
But they wouldn't be Polaroid, and that would come in, that would bring in issues with skiing and the snow and driving in poor light conditions.
Why couldn't they be polarized?
Those auto dimming glasses, the ones that are photosensitive, they can't be polarized.
No. I'm thinking of entirely new technology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the current technology, if that was part of it, then the deal would be off. There's no way I'd consider it. But a different technology? Okay. So now Apple could still accommodate me. We will see.
What we really need is smart contacts.
Google's working on those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the subset of people that aren't contact lens candidates, because it turns out there are some people out there that actually can't wear contacts, they'd be like, I've been screwed again.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we are out of time. See, I knew when I said the first subject that I wanted to get to today, and then jokingly said, we'll see if we get to a second subject. I was only half joking. I had a feeling we'd be here. So we are.
It's an exciting subject.
It is. I had a feeling that this was going to end up being a one subject day, but I was ready for more. I'm always ready for more. John, thank you for being here today.
Oh, you're welcome. It was fun.
Yeah, it was loads of fun. Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.